Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today, we have a special guest named Gar Russell. He's a visionary entrepreneur, author, and the founder of the nation's largest RV rental management franchise. From starting with a single RV to scaling across dozens of locations, Gar's journey is masterclass in resilience, faith, and people-first leadership. I think you guys are in for a real treat. It's going to be heartfelt. It's going to be practical. This conversation is going to be about growth, grit, and leading with trust. So Gar, welcome. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for that introduction. I love the word grit, masterclass. Yeah.
That's what came up when we read your biography, and those things are all beautiful and why we want you and people like you on the show. So diving right in, let's talk about this RV and how you started with one and scaled to now what's known as the largest RV rental management franchise.
Yeah, I call this my pain to purpose business. I bought my wife an RV for our 10-year wedding anniversary. And at the time, we lived up in Michigan. I brought it to Grand Haven, Michigan, set it up at this beautiful campground. I thought I was the best husband ever. And she comes out of the camper. Not to tell me I'm the best husband ever, but to tell me she's going home. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you mean you're going home? Well, she was 7 months pregnant with number four, chasing a toddler around. She was hot, miserable, was not wanting to be at a campground. And so there I sat at the beginning of our week-long camp trip thinking, all right, I just bought a camper. What am I doing now? And one thing kind of led to the next. I threw it up on Craigslist for rent. I had a real estate portfolio that I had built, so I knew about, you know, real estate, property management, stuff like that. I'm like, I'm going to rent this thing out. And sure enough, it went haywire from there.
That's really, really cool. If you had to name the type of mindset that you use to carry you on and that help you grow this into something that's this ambitious, what would you call that mindset? How would you describe it?
Just one of, I would say, hope. Just, you know, that there's always something positive that's going to come out of any situation. So it started as, right, painful in the moment. And I love how Tony Robbins says that, like, pain is the ultimate motivator in life, right? We start by, it's too painful to stay in our current situation. So now we got to move towards pleasure. And that's what it was. And as an entrepreneur, we don't stay in the pain that long, typically. We're pretty good about, you know, getting that grit and saying, all right, how's this going to work out for my benefit?
Yeah. And yeah. So you have both experienced a booming business and bankruptcy back in 2008, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I've had definitely my share of failures and setbacks. And on the other side of those setbacks, had some good comebacks for sure.
Yeah, let's talk about those comebacks. And what's your why?
Yeah, most definitely. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, sorry. I thought I muted it on accident. Yeah. So, you know, my most recent setback was actually 2023. I was coming out of COVID. During COVID, I got super passive in my businesses. I started drinking alcohol daily. I wasn't paying attention to my businesses. And it wasn't until 2023, it was actually the end of May of 2023 that I got COVID. And during that time of COVID, I just had like this, these horrible, crazy attacks on my mind. Mm. And it was cool, though. The Lord used that to really wake me up and get me to realize, hey, dude, you're not working in your businesses. You're not You're not working on your businesses. And so that caused me to really go into my books and start to look and see, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've sold off seven figures of real estate to keep all my businesses afloat, justifying it, thinking, oh yeah, I got a good return on that property. But really it wasn't. It was me being super passive. So when all that happened, it was that hope word. That hope word came again. And I'm like, okay, here I am. I'm in a horrible situation. I'm on the verge of bankruptcy again. What do I need to do? And I just really, the thing I love about hope is hope doesn't know what's going to happen. It just knows something will. And so what did I do? I started looking all the times where life had happened before and how I came through it. And that really just gave me the strength and the courage to know, okay, we'll get through this. I pressed into God in prayer and he showed me a path forward to just to reinvent myself, become that next, the next level of GAR. And we made it through. We, at that time, we had about 12 fireside locations, and now we have 70.
Wow. And what does that look like? What is that franchise? Can you outline that for me?
Yeah. So basically what we do is we're a property management company for RVs. So if anybody listens to this podcast knows, if you have an RV, you're already like, okay, what does he do? RV? I have an RV. It's sitting in my driveway doing nothing. You know, that's what most RVs are doing. Most of the time, people use it maybe once, twice, three times a year. And so what we do is when people aren't using their RVs, we take possession of them. We put them at one of our locations. We maintain them for them. For the owner, we rent them out. And we basically do everything. It's completely passive for the owner. And then for the franchisee, it's a very low overhead business model because you're using other people's assets. The renter is paying for things such as like insurance and cleaning and delivery and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a perfect storm. It's a blessing for the RV owner. It allows people to get out and experience the outdoors without ownership. And then it's a business model for our franchisees that's very low.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. Are there specific locations that, because you mentioned like experience, you know, obviously the outdoors, but are there like specific locations throughout the U.S. that's like prime real estate?
Yeah, we definitely, you know, there's so much to do around the U.S. in regards to like state and federal campgrounds and just traveling, races, music festivals. Mm. You think of it, that's why I call it real estate, right? It's literally, it's a house on wheels. Yeah, you go camping. Like we just had a big NASCAR event this past weekend. We've got music festivals coming up. And so, yeah, there's definitely some prime areas, you know, especially this time of year, stepping into fall and winter, Arizona, Florida. A lot of people are doing like fall color tours, stuff like that. But yeah, there's so much to see and so much to do around the U.S. And doing it in an RV is such a fun way. Have you ever...
I have. I've rented one and drove it across Washington to go to a concert. So we stayed at the Gorge and it was an experience that I want to relive again because it was just, I mean, having a house on wheels, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun to get out. We actually full-time RV'd for 5 years while we were building this business. So we were circling the country, homeschooling our 4 kids. We got to have so many amazing experiences and create so many memories. And it's just, it is. It's such a blessing to be able to do something like that. So yeah, for those of y'all that are listening, if you haven't been RVing yet, go rent an RV and try it. It is a blast.
It is a blast. It is a blast. So in your journey, you have entrepreneurship, you have homeschooling and leadership. How did parenting while running your businesses shape your view on what it means to like lead authentically and with heart?
It's so fun to homeschool your kids and be an entrepreneur at the same time because you can totally intertwine everything that you're doing. Like literally right now, as we're speaking, my 9-year-old is in the other room watching Little House on the Prairie. I just turned around to that the other day. I'm like, I got to get you on some good classic TV. You know, my 3 older kids, they're all at another one of our businesses, which is a restaurant. So my wife and my 3 oldest, they're all working at our little diner that we own. And so we love like the homeschooling, entrepreneurship, doing it together. And they just get to see us work side by side. Mm-hmm. They get to work side by side with us. They get to see us lead. Noah, my 10-year-old, who's going to take over Fireside someday, he'll tell you he's already got the business plans. He's got post-its up in his bedroom all over his wall with ideas. And once I do this, I'll do that. And so, yeah, it is such a, it's almost kind of like Little House on the Prairie, right? Where like you do life and business and everything together. It's like nothing is segmented or separated. It's literally all together all the time doing the same stuff. So, Yeah, it's totally intertwined all the way around for us with homeschooling entrepreneurship.
Absolutely, absolutely. And why did you guys pick homeschooling?
You know, I don't know why, honestly. It was just, I was homeschooled for a couple of years when I was younger. And then when I was dating my wife, Tina, I just told her, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to homeschool. I'm going to have 5 kids and I'm going to live in Florida. You know, and she's like, all right, I'm down with Florida. I'm down with, you know, 5 kids kind of sounds like a lot, but all right. Like the homeschooling, like, yeah, that's, I'm not doing that. And, but then we had our first child, Emma. My wife went back to work. She was a manager at a bank. And it was literally a couple weeks where she's like, honey, I don't want to work no more. I want to be home with my kid. And then it was home with the kid. And then time where it's like, okay, it's time to start schooling. The thought of like sending our daughter off to a school to my wife. And then she's like, okay, we'll try homeschooling and see how it goes. And we never turned back. We've done that the whole journey, which our oldest is about to, she's her senior year. So she's about to graduate.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And what they're learning from you guys and in real life is going to be, you know, unmatched to what school could teach them. So that's really, really cool. So you went from, you said 12 locations to now 70, right? What did that rapid growth look like? And how did you assemble the team and keep them lifted up during that?
Yeah, exactly what you just said, assemble the team. That's how the rapid growth was able to happen. I was at a marketing ClickFunnels. Are you familiar with ClickFunnels?
Yep. Russell Brunson.
Yeah. So I went to, somebody told me about one of his funnel hacking lives. So I went to that 4 years ago, and that's where it like things just exploded for me because I realized, oh, I'm what Russell Brunson calls the attractive character. I'm the person that can go out and talk and has the gift to gab and all that. I need an operator. And so I literally left that conference, and one of my franchisees, I went to them. I said, hey, I want to sell you a percentage of my company for this amount, and you come in and be my partner. And that's what exploded us, was having an operator in place. And then after that, really what it was is me continuing to learn my role in the company as the visionary of just casting the vision, keeping everybody encouraged by the vision, continuing to put the vision in front of everybody. Because as you grow, especially rapidly, there's so many opportunities and ideas, and all these things that come about. Well, that's where you've got to have like, wait, where are we going though? Here's our end goal, which our end goal is, you know, nationwide franchises and then purchasing real estate that we co-own with our franchisees. And so with us having that vision in front and then continuing to cast that vision to our franchisees, as well as our franchisees, right? A lot of them, they were renting their RV. And so they found us through one of the channels and they realized it could be a business. Others was people who were, they had corporate jobs, but they're like, man, I know I was wired to be an entrepreneur. I just don't know how to step into it. And then getting in front of them and then just continuing to build community. And to me, that's at the end of the day, you can learn my business in 90 days. You can, you know, do all these things within time, but community, once you build a community, that's something that is just so powerful. And there's no number you can put on community when you have people that are dedicated to each other, doing business together, doing life together. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And when conflict does arise, like how do you and your partner handle that?
So the way that we handle conflict is we do it biblically. Our business is, especially the franchise level, is Christian entrepreneurs. We're all faith-filled entrepreneurs. So we have a playbook, right? We've got the Bible. We've got the book of Proverbs. We've got these foundational frameworks in front of us. So when we have an issue with somebody in the business, one of the partners, we go about it biblically by confronting each other face-to-face, not going to Bill saying, hey, Bill, I got an issue with Stacy. What do you think I should do about it? Bill's going to tell me, you shouldn't even be coming to me. You should be talking to Stacy, right? Sure. And there's a really good framework that we learned on this too called Social Covenant. I can't think of who it's by, but where basically it's all about, right, face-to-face. Like if you have an issue with somebody, you go right to them in that moment. Hey, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm thinking. And you squash it. If you can't squash it, then that's when you bring somebody else in the business that has the same heart of mind saying, hey, we have this issue. We're not able to resolve it. What's your thoughts? And then between the three of us, you know, we should be able to resolve it. And so, man, it makes it easy managing a business too. when people come to me, they're like, hey, I got to tell you something about what that Sally Sue did. I'm like, no, you don't, because I'm not Sally Sue. You go to Sally Sue and you talk about your issue. If you two can't figure it out, let me know and I'm happy to come in. But man, there's so many issues that can be resolved by just simply going to the person, right? Sure. We don't like conflict a lot of times, stuff like that. But man, when you do that, you just come and you're honest and vulnerable and transparent. It makes business so much easier because then you don't have all these little walls and guards and stuff built up that you got to remember, oh, wait, I know this about this person, so I got to navigate it this way. No, everybody's in the light, out in the open. There's nothing hidden. It's all right there.
Yeah, it also saves a lot of time, right? Because now you're not just fielding everybody's thoughts about everybody else. I really like that framework a lot. Something we try to practice as well. But I think that when somebody comes to talk to me about someone else, I am open to hearing it. But I feel now that that'll be a boundary to set of saying you should probably go straight to them. That's really.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Good. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to any leader who's struggling to delegate? Because like you said, you were the visionary, you were the person that had the gift of gab, and then you went and found your operator. And together you guys were able to, you know, gain so much more ground. And I think delegation and leadership is such a tough thing for people because they think it's job security. And so how would you share with us a little bit about your journey of being the delegator now and what that's freed up for you?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that I would share with others in regards to delegation and building your team is you got to let go of the myth that, oh my gosh, they won't be able to do it as good as me. No, they're not going to know how to do it like me and this and that. So what I say is, and I picked this up from somewhere, I don't forget where, is if you can find somebody to do something 80% as good as you, go ahead and delegate it. Go ahead and delegate it out. Because guess what? Your 100% good might not actually be the 100% best. You might hand it to somebody like, yeah, they're all right. You know, they could maybe do it. And then you hand it to them and they totally excel in it. And that just frees you up to continue to excel in what you excel in, you know, and at the end of the day, I don't have my shirt on. One of my shirts I wear commonly is life happens for you. Mm-hmm. So often when we go to delegate something or bring somebody in and it arises these insecurities in us, like, oh, are they going to actually be way better than me? Or if it's in a corporate setting or like, is this putting my job in jeopardy? You know, they might just be the, I might've just hired somebody who's going to get me fired. I love the saying, life happens for you, not to you.
Yep.
Well, guess what? You do hire that person and they come in and they end up replacing you and now you're on the job hunt. Put that on your resume. Like, yeah, I was actually able to find and bring in and train the person that had this skill set that I had plus more that actually has me now looking for my next job, which I've realized one of my potentials is I can find great talent. That's something you're looking for, you know? Great. Here I am. So just remember, don't operate out of fear. You know, don't operate out of fear like, oh man, if I do this, then I'm going to potentially, because if anything, you're just bringing to surface a weakness inside of yourself that you just have to work on because we can always improve, right? So if you're like, hey, I bring in this person and they have this skill set I don't. Okay. Well, do you desire that skill set? Great. Then go build the skill set and then take that into your next adventure.
Yeah. And if you don't desire the skill set, don't build it and let that person have it and be okay with what you have. I like that. I like that reframe of being the one who can spot talent and hire talent and train talent. That's really good. That's a new one for me. I've never heard that one before. You had a little stint, and I'm not really sure how long it was, in credit counseling. How did that start and how does it weave into what you're currently doing and how do you mitigate risk by using that?
Yeah. So my credit counseling company was the same as our RV rental company. It was pain to purpose. It was, I gave my life to the Lord in 2003 and I had a bunch of credit to fix up. I had all the debt collectors and all the things that come along with making poor choices financially. And so the job I was at the time, I would get laid off during the winter. And so I went to the library and I just started researching credit, how to build credit, how to negotiate with creditors. And I learned simple things like, if you have an account that's sitting on your credit report for 4 or 5 years, don't just go pay it, because you're actually going to change the date of last activity, refresh that account when you pay it. Now your score is going to get hit. So I learned about how to properly validate accounts and all these things. And it turned into, I launched a credit counseling business. And I did that for over a decade. I published a couple books on credit. I was a FICO certified credit expert. I ended up doing continued education for real estate agents. And kind of like with this business, I carved out my niche. And my niche was creating homeowners, getting people where they need to be for a home. And the thing that I learned about that, that really came into what I'm doing now, is really was documentation, systems, and processes, and procedures. I was really blessed to have a guy work for me by the name of Forrest, who he ran the quality control division for Yamaha Music for like 30 years. In Michigan before their plant got closed out. So he knew all about like documentation and systems and process. He would always tell me, he's like, hey, Gar, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Somebody could come sit down at my desk, open this notepad, and they could do my job. Like it's all there. It's documented. And so what I learned from Forrest and in that business was, as soon as I started Fireside, I learned, okay, I got to start documenting everything I'm doing, you know? And then what I learned when I joined Russell Brownson's community is, while I'm doing the documenting, I should have been creating videos and telling people, hey, this is what I'm doing right now. This is what's happening. Because then I could have been also building my social media and YouTube and all that presence by documenting it and letting others follow me in the journey.
Yeah. Are you going to start? Are you going to kind of go back or start from here and start documenting so that you can build that?
We did do that. Before we franchised, we went ahead and did that in great depths. We launched our own podcast where we teach others to do what we're doing. You know, so if somebody's out there renting their RV on their own, we teach them everything that we're doing. Why? Because we know, first, we're giving back to the community. And second, if somebody's a true entrepreneur and they fit our mold of what we're looking for, eventually they're going to end up joining our community.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar experience with credit early on. I went to rent my first apartment and I had to pay a third month just because of my credit. And so I did like you and went to the library, except I went to the internet and realized just how much the consumer has in power, right? And realized just how undereducated we were in credit and realized, and I it's very similar. It's very eye-opening, I think, when you start to fix your own credit and realize just how much power you have in that. And so I appreciate you actually taking that further and starting a business and stuff like that. That's really cool, especially for homeowners. It's very special.
Yeah, it's so powerful how much credit determines and the lack of information in regards to credit. I mean, like literally, they should be teaching credit in high school.
Yes.
They should be preparing you to where if you go to college, if you step on that college campus or whatever it is, you go to buy your first car, that you've already know what your credit is. You've already got some credit in place. So yeah, I'm excited for my kids. You know, my oldest is 16 right now. I'm excited. Once they get a little bit older, they're going to have like 800 credit scores. I'm going to show them how to do some cool stuff with their credit. They'll all have rental properties. I mean, they'll be crushing it.
Properly. That's going to be awesome. What is the common leadership, I would say, maybe thread that you have found throughout all your entrepreneur parenting? What is the common leadership thread that you found you've carried through all of them?
I would probably say just encouragement, just encouraging people in the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, that it's all going to be used. One of my mentors, Myron Golden, you ever heard of Myron Golden?
I have not. Tell me about
it. Okay. Yeah. Check out Myron Golden. He says all work works. It either works for you or it works on you. And so, you know, when I get a franchisee that texts me and they're freaking out, oh my gosh, we just had whatever situation happen, to say, okay, all good, all work works, because we're going to see that this situation is going to be used somehow for the good. We're going to learn something. It's either going to turn into something beneficial for us, like a prime example. We had somebody the last couple of years who was trying to duplicate our model, but a little bit differently. And you know, some of my partners like, hey, watch this company, see what they're doing. And I'm like, I'm not watching anybody. I'm running my own race. They do what they're going to do. If I'm sitting here watching them, that means I'm taking time away from my race. And I'm not looking back at the people next to me or behind me. I'll end up tripping or something. And so what happens, I totally forget about this company. Literally, I block the guy on Facebook. I forget about him. He's bashing me and my company. Here we are years later. I get an email last week from the peer-to-peer platform that we market on saying, hey, this company reached out because their investor group is walking away. They were just going to fold everything up. They reach out to us asking if there's any way to save this company, like to hand it off to somebody. And the platform said, you guys, you're the only one who can do it. So literally my competitor is signing me over their company next week. They're not selling me their company. They're wow. signing me over their company. So next week I'll close on a seven-figure deal that cost me $0.
Wow. What are the things that they did wrong that you know of that you can say out loud?
Well, I would say it was a venture capital deal. So right when you get venture capital people that are just throwing money, they're depending on your idea, your grit, your all your things to bring it across the finish line, and they're banking on, you know, 80 to 90% of these deals completely failing, but the one that hits, right, the Turo, whatever the deal, they're like, we just need the one to hit. So I think that's part of where they went wrong. Is as a company, they went after investors thinking that was the solution instead of learning the business like I did. And the thing that I learned in the business, and honestly, I got to give the glory to God because he showed me this when I first started going out buying campers, was literally I'm driving, right? My wife 7 months pregnant. Fast forward 2 months, we're at the hospital. All of our kids were born via C-section. So literally it's like you check in, 2 hours later, you're back in the room with your baby. An hour after that, I'm in my car driving to the dealership to buy 4 RVs. On the way, I hear that still small voice say, other people's RVs, other people's assets. So that's when I instantly switched to that business model. Other people's assets, they pay for the storage, they pay for all this and that. This business didn't follow that model. They're going out buying RVs, which I saw several of my competitors go under during COVID because they had all these payments, storage, brick and mortar, all this overhead that I didn't have. And I would say that's probably where they went wrong was they had so much money thrown at them that they weren't watching their numbers, where we didn't have all that overhead and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good call out. I think that when people are starting out, you think you need capital. And so you have the mindset that as long as you have money, you can survive, when there's a lot more than just money that you need to survive, because eventually that may run out. And so how does this grow your business? What does this look like for you in percentage?
Yeah, so this is almost a 20% growth to our gross sales and rental revenue. And this adds 60 units to our fleet next week, which I think we have about 600 units right now. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And there's some members on those teams, one's in Colorado, one's in Arizona, that I've talked to that seem like some pretty bright people that will stay on board as well.
That's amazing. Blessings for sure. So if you can give one piece of advice to a leader who feels like they're failing financially, emotionally, and or spiritually, what would you tell them that you've learned from your own journey?
You've got to figure out, where are you at with your hope? Where is my hope right now? And, you know, I love the scripture, Hebrews 11:1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And a lot of people talk about faith, whether in Christianity or just in general, right? Like, you know, sure. Makes me think of that old song growing up, George Michael, gotta have faith, the faith. You know, we always talk about faith, right? You gotta have faith. But that scripture points out something real important there, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so many people try to like muster up this faith and this energy and this excitement. But if you don't have any hope, or you don't know where your hope is, you can't do that. So what I've learned in the last couple of years is a practical framework for building hope. And the way that we do that is we look back, right? Because again, Myron Golden, he says that we only believe what the story that we're telling ourselves. And he says the reason why is because we're the only person to ever have heard every lie we've ever told ourselves. So, right, that's conscience. That word is with knowledge in the Latin. So we have this knowledge about all these mistakes and all these lies we've told ourselves. So we believe that. That's our reality. So how do we take that for hope? We take that, we look back in the past where we felt like we were hopeless or in a hopeless situation, and we got through, and we can say, oh, wait, here's six times where I felt like at the end of my rope, bankruptcy, suicidal, you name it, and I got through it. And so we can look at those situations. And now as we start to think about those and remember those, hope starts to rise inside of us. And I love this saying here. I don't know where I heard it, but it's hope does not know what's going to happen. It just knows that something will. And then once hope creates expectation, then our faith begins to look for the thing that hope is feeling. So once we do that, once we walk through that process, now all of a sudden, we're like, yeah, that's right. I got through this before. I did get through that. I did fix my credit before. I did get through that bankruptcy. I did get through that health issue, that job loss, that divorce, that whatever. And now we've got hope. And man, once you got hope, once hope has arisen in you again, watch out. Watch out, that's what happens. Then the most important part happens is then our imagination is brought alive. And then we start to think about, all right, I'm excited. How's this going to come about? You know, and I love this other saying too, all the resources we need already exist. Yes, we're just not aware of them yet. So once our imagination kicks alive and we start looking for the answers and the solutions and start dreaming of how is this going to work out, then it's a wrap. It's all good. Yeah. We're going to get through it.
And to those who say hope is not a plan, what would you say to that?
That hope is not a plan? Yeah. I would say give it a try. Try it for 30 days. Give it a try and see if I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. I love the two sayings. You said his name was Myron what?
Myron Golden. Yeah, check him out on YouTube. Phenomenal man, a business teacher, Bible teacher. And he's got, you know, the dude that does the School of Hard Knocks videos?
Mm-hmm.
Myron was on there, and his video has like 10 times more views than everybody else. And he's much less known than, I mean, that guy's having like some crazy people on there now that everybody knows. But Myron Golden's video on there, and I've been following Myron Golden for about 4 years since I got turned on to Russell Brunson in the ClickFunnels world is how I met Myron Golden.
Yeah, no, it sounds like he has a lot of wisdom, practical, real life wisdom to share. And I love those little nuggets that people get to give you that shift your paradigm into being a little bit more hopeful or okay with where you are, but striving for where you want to be. So yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate you dropping that on us. Any final thoughts for the audience? Like what are your future plans other than closing on this 7-figure deal next week? If you wanted to leave the audience with anything, what would you leave them with?
I would say what we just talked about last, just hope, stay in hope, ask yourself, where is my hope? You know, if you're in a desperate situation in business and life, whatever, take a half a day and a pen and a paper and literally get serious about writing down these things, right? Where was I hopeless before? And the way I just saw this video on YouTube the other day from a Harvard professor, he said it only takes 15 minutes for us to get bored and our imagination to kick into play. But we don't even allow ourselves 15 minutes to process the pain of what we're feeling in, right? We're just trying to get through the day, but our pain is an indicator that we want to change, but we have to process the pain. And why not do that through the lens of hope, knowing that, man, it's going to, and even go on Google and, hey, I'm on the verge of bankruptcy. I want to hear some stories of people who have got through bankruptcy, or ChatGPT, and watch the results of what pops up. And then you get to hear these other people's testimonies and stories. And then that gives you the hope, because one of the biggest things that happens in life when we don't have hope is the enemy of our mind tries to isolate us and get us to think that there is no hope. You're the only person to ever be where you're at right now. No one's been here before. No one's ever been through this before. There's no hope for you. And that's just not true.
Yeah. I think that if you can't find a reference point, because if you're in that place, it's pretty dark. And so if you can't find a reference point, I love the advice of go find other reference points, find other people who have been there and are out now, because that is just as much evidence that if they can do it, so can you. So I appreciate that very much, Gar. Thank you so much. Where can we find you online?
Go to garrussell.com, GARRRUSSELL.com. You can get any of my books for free as downloads, or you can buy them on Amazon if you like to hold them in your hands to mark them up. There's my YouTube channel on there. You can learn about renting an RV, learn about our franchise, all the things.
So if you have an RV, definitely check out Gar and his Fireside RV rental company. I think it's pretty dope what he's doing, and it sounds like pretty lucrative. So if you have an RV, or if you don't, because I know I'm going to check it out for myself, just take a look. It might be something that changes your life for the better. Gar, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I know you have a lot going on, so I appreciate your time. And, you know, perhaps we'll join again later after this deal goes through and we talk again to see what your life is looking like for you guys.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gar. And that concludes this episode of Leadership from the Heart, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, please check out Gar and like and subscribe to the show. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.